Hey, Husky fans, welcome back to Fourth and Inches, a Husky podcast. My name is Trevor Mueller. With me is UW Leah and Coach V. And really, me and Leah are here to just sit and listen to Coach V wax poetically about meeting with not only all of the Husky coaches, but some of the greatest minds in football. So, Coach, the floor is yours. We're here to talk about the Coach's Clinic. I know it's a week after, but tell us about your overall experience to start out.
Well, let me just say, I try my best to fly up to Seattle every single year. I've been doing it, for years. I remember, going up with Chris Peterson and obviously Kalen DeBoer. I didn't get to make it last year. So I was like, I got to make it this year because they just decided that we're going to turn this into a 2-day event. We're going to have superstar after superstar just kind of come in and talk to the guys. And I came in with the expectation that I was going to be blown away, and somehow they exceeded my expectations.
Love.
So, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I love that. What was like one of your favorite things that you like that were your first impressions that were immediately positive for you?
Well, basically, when you get there, you're kind of looking for people that you already know. And so I saw a guy that coaches up there that I know that, and when I came up to him, he was in the middle of another conversation with a bunch of other head coaches and pretty prominent guys that have won a lot of games in the state. And the first thing I hear about is just coach drama. And I was like, oh, this is gonna be pretty juicy. A lot of coaches, they're upset with other coaches, recruiting, stealing players. It was like, whew, is how we're gonna start it off? Okay. Over there eating my breakfast sandwich, just smiling, just waiting to talk to my buddy, but I'm listening and soaking it all in. And then, we go and sit down, and obviously, Coach Fish goes up there, and he's first it was Cam Ellisara, who, by the way, one of my favorite players during one of the darkest times of Husky football. Loved him. He's obviously he's kind of like the liaison to high school coaches in the state. He does a lot of work for the program, and he comes up and he speaks, and then it was Coach Fish. And before we even get started, Coach Fish says, I'm going to talk to you guys for the next hour, and then I'm going to go and do fundraising. So I was kind of like, oh, okay, I like this. And so I guess just my overall impression, and we can get deeper into this, is that this is a dude that I don't, people are always worried about how long the next coach is going to stay. I don't really have a say in that. I don't really care. I just know that while he's here, he's grinding. He's trying to find innovative ways to make the program better. They're heavily into recruiting, heavily into player development, and is the head coach that takes pride in trying to raise money for the program.
Just to start out, one of the things that annoyed me at the start was he doesn't have any sort of indicator when there's a commit. But the level of engagement that he has gives an overall aura of organization within the program. And as the entire athletics program starts to settle into this new Big Ten, new athletic director, new head coach, just seems like the engagement is kind of at an all-time high when it comes to not just donors, but just even just being active on Twitter.
Yeah, and it's evident throughout the facility. Like everywhere you go, it's just it just seemed like different. And obviously with some of the high level people that they had there, a lot of cameras, a lot of interest. I mean, I got into they made a hype video about the weekend with the coaches.
Yeah, you
Like
were in it.
I know I my head was in the back of the room during Mike McDonald's breakout session, and I found myself in there, and I'm like, I did it. I've made it. All these years coaching, I finally, I got a seat at the table now. No, it was first of all, let me just say, it's the most frustrating thing about these things is that you don't get to go to every single coach's breakout, right? You get one offensive guy, one defensive guy, the guest speakers here and there. I decided that for my first one, I was going to go to Brennan Carroll's. I wanted to hear about the offense a little bit. I wanted
Offensive
to.
coach going to the offensive coordinator makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I had this planned out. But he came in, and I don't know if I've there's a lot of guys that we've had throughout the years that are kind of characters, high energy guys. Brennan Carroll is low key kind of hilarious, sort of self-deprecating humor. He doesn't take himself too seriously. And I was like, you know, most of the time these offensive coordinators are like pretty intense and, you know, sort of like the chess master, and they take it all seriously. And he's pretty laid back, and, you know, I had a couple questions for him and just how they run this, you know, screen properly. And do they have this, this, and this? And his basic premise was just like, hey, this is the way we run it. I know a lot of teams will do this instead. We try to keep it simple so our guys can play fast. And I was like, all right, that's cool. So I left that meeting in the building, and then I had to go through the stadium to go to Dempsey Indoor to watch Steve Belichick speak. And as I'm walking across the field, I notice that there's a familiar gentleman at the 50-yard line with a football in his hand, and it was Michael Penix. And he was accompanied by I think Jack Westover and Jalen Polk and Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and a bunch of their staff. And I was like, oh, I guess this is where they're having the private workout. So even though I'm supposed to head over to the other one, I just stood there on the sidelines, kind of backed up against the stands so nobody would maybe notice me, and just sat there for like 15 minutes watching him just spin the ball at field level. You know, I've seen him in person a bunch of times the last 2 years, but it's a little bit different experience. Yeah. And just thinking to myself, there's no way. And I'm calling my shot now, by the way. Everybody keeps asking me, should we draft Michael Penix at 16 for the Seahawks? And I said, no. And they're like, they're very surprised by this. And they're like, why not? And I said, because he's not going to make it to 16. Calling my shot now. He is not going to make it to 16. He is too damn good. He is too damn impressive as a person. Very smart, very talented guy. And, a lot of these other quarterbacks can't do what he does. So that was pretty cool. That was me nerding out, just watching. Deborah Goldstein, who is absolutely the MVP of all this behind the scenes stuff. She's the director of football operations. She came by and I said, Deborah, come here, please. Is it okay if I just stay here for a little bit and watch this? I promise I won't say anything. I won't take any photos. I won't take any videos. She's like, definitely don't take any photos or videos. Probably keep your phone away, but just be mindful of the schedule. Don't be late. And I was like, thank you, Deborah. And just sat there and just watched. And I did make it over in time to see Belichick. And Steve was super cool. He sounds a lot like his dad. Same kind of monotone delivery. And he was super cool, and I couldn't wait to just kind of soak it all up. I'm taking notes like a madman. And then it was time to go on to the next one, and that was when we go to Mike McDonald. And Deborah comes into the indoor facility, and we're all sitting in chairs, and she says, there's limited space in the Mike McDonald, so first come, first serve. And then she just watches all these coaches get out of their seats and hustle across there, trying not to run. I mean, we fit in there just fine. But, you know, day one was awesome. We got to hear John Schneider at the end. And this was actually kind of cool. You think that a longtime NFL general manager is going to talk about players and personnel stuff and how the draft works. And he literally spent an hour on his research, reading books, reading studies on the Gen Z and the Gen Alpha athlete, and how to best reach them to get their full potential as NFL players.
Okay, so I want to actually stick on that. I had a couple of other questions, but, you know, I coach high school sports, you coach high school sports. The lazy answer is they're too selfish, they're too me-oriented. What were some of the things that he talked about when it comes to kind of this new era of athlete, new generation of athlete, new era of athlete where, you know, travel teams are more of a thing, the 7-on-7 circuit for football. What were some of the things that he mentioned, insights that he gave on this new generation of athlete?
Well, one of the first things he said, and it kind of went from there, these guys that they're getting into the league now are the first generation that grew up on devices.
Yeah.
Like from the womb to now, they've always had a tablet or a phone or something. And just the way they perceive the world, and you know, because, you know, and Leah, you're probably figuring that out with your daughter, maybe. It's just the different level of communication, different level of priorities. This is also a generation that is kind of, you know, this, it doesn't work anymore that you can just kind of be a hard ass and say, you know, my way or the highway. These kids want to know why.
Yeah.
You know? And that's half my job is explaining, we need to do this, 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 and then give a very brief, like, and this is why it benefits you. If you don't give them the why, there's no buy-in. There's no, they just kind of move on to the next thing. So as coaches, as administrators, as anybody who is dealing with young people, you have to understand that, you know, it's not the same as when we grew up. And they are more free thinking. They have their own ideas about things. They have their own levels of, you know, what motivates them. And you just kind of have to keep a little bit of an open mind, but you have to understand them. And then you have to find out what, where their why is. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I think that is really interesting. The idea of a free thinking athlete that, I mean, I think it's a benefit because they're around so many different coaches. They can almost start to, when they think for themselves, when they're around a coach that gives them the why of what they're doing, it allows, it actually helps them weed out, people that might not necessarily have their best interests, at heart.
And that's true. Like a lot of these high level athletes, they're getting recruited to different high schools. They're getting recruited to 7-on-7 teams.
Yep.
There's a lot of transfer.
Private trainers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The trainers. Oh my God. The trainers. And this is something in football we didn't used to have to worry about until like the last 10, 12 years. It was always the AAU stuff and the baseball stuff. And so now it's like, well, here we are. I mean, you know, it's the reality. The transfer portal has made its way to high school football. And it's a little bit different, but for the most part, you know, you just kind of have to keep this in mind. We just switched head coaches in my program, and we had three really high level starters who didn't see eye to eye with the last coach. And, you know, they left. A few weeks later, he left. And they can't take it back now because they transferred.
Oh.
And it's one of those things where if I believe there's some weird rule with the AIA where they can have a hearing, they can have a hardship hearing, and they could come back. But if they're denied, then they're going to lose their senior season. I could never tell a kid, risk it for me, yeah, for us.
For sure.
Heck no. I will love you guys. I will root for you guys. Not when we play against you. But yeah, you can't take someone's senior season away. So, you know, we have to kind of take all this into consideration. And I will say that one of the cooler things to watch when he was speaking was just John Schneider was so sincere. He wasn't like just kind of talking at everybody. It was like he was just going through this. And he was talking about, he was in the middle of this book, and I wrote it down somewhere, and I don't have it in front of me. And he wasn't finished with it yet. And he was sharing some ideas and some things that he was getting from the book. And it was almost like this, like in front of, you know, a couple hundred coaches, like having this discovery moment of, you know, kind of like, this is like watching in real time as the focus shifts and how we perceive these athletes. And I'll give you one, like the easiest one right now. Who's going to be the number one pick in this year's draft?
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. Who is the most polarizing individual in this draft?
Caleb Williams.
100%. And people don't like him because he's sensitive and he wears nail polish and he does these, you know. I heard people ripping him because he went into the stands after the Washington game and was crying with his mom.
Yep.
I'm like, hold up.
Yeah.
If I just lost a big game on national TV and I wasn't emotional, throw me off the damn team.
Mm-hmm.
If he had just gone across and like high-fived a bunch of guys on the opposite team and was laughing and giggling and having a good time, even though they lost, I would have punched that teammate in the face, you know? And so he's not what football fans who are 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, that's not the guy they grew up with.
Repress that emotion.
That would be the high level diva Terrell Owens wide receiver type.
Yep.
That, you know, a quarterback, he can't be like that. He has to be a little bit more straight laced, and he has to lead this team. And bro, look around.
Yeah.
All of his peers are from his generation. I don't think if this guy fails, it's not going to be because he's just a little bit different, you know, than what the norm is. It's going to be because, you know, the NFL is really freaking hard.
Yeah.
And playing quarterback is the hardest thing to do in the NFL. So there's a reason that quarterbacks bust at an extremely high level. But does he have the talent? Absolutely. Has he done it on the field already? He won a Heisman Trophy. USC wasn't very good this year. They had maybe the worst defense in college football.
Mm-hmm.
We had a battle in that game. We went to the national championship game and we squeaked out of there with a 10-point win. Like, that's not like we dominated them. Every time we had a chance to put the game away, that dude put the team on his back and he came after us and he scored another touchdown.
Oh, that's a 6-win team, 5-win team without him.
They might be a 4-win or 3-win. They had some talented guys on skill positions and all that stuff. Their lines weren't that good. Their mm-hmm. defense was terrible. Caleb Williams was the only reason they had any chance at relevance. So anybody who hates Caleb Williams because he's just weird or he does things differently, that kid is laughing all the way to the bank and he doesn't. The kid's a millionaire already and he hasn't even stepped in the NFL yet.
Going back to the Husky coaching staff, what are some takeaways that you took from whether it was Carroll, Belichick, or Fish? What were some things that stood out to you in their talks?
I think with Fish, he has that aura of the CEO who's in control of the entire organization. And it's crazy to watch him mingle with all his famous friends, you know, like, obviously, Bill Belichick was there the second day, and being in the same room with him and learning and watching film with Bill Belichick was freaking awesome. But then he comes out on the football field with Jed, and he's wearing all his UW gear, They're just howling around. And then he walks over and sees his kid, and he's helping him coach up the defense, which was insane. And then Danny Shelton came over for no reason and was just hanging out with them. And I was like, Danny, what's up? Auburn, class of 94. How's it going, buddy? He's like, hey, good to meet you. Good to meet you. And I'm just
and
like,
Roman stayed on his 2 feet. He was okay.
Oh, Roman, if you're listening to this, I'm so happy that you didn't faint. That would have been super embarrassing for you at your job. But when they walked into the Dempsey indoor and I nudged Roman, I go, hey, your crush is here. And he's just like, oh my God. And he's
Roman
wearing.
And if anybody who doesn't know who Roman is, if you're listening, that's pretty wild. Roman Tomasoff, he has the Daily Huskies podcast, as well as he writes for USA Today.
He and Lars and Alex and Evan and all those guys out there were just we're all standing in a group, and Christian Capel's like 5 feet away from us, and I wanted to say hey to him, but he was taking notes, and I was like, I'll let him work. And I'm just looking around, and I turned around to Roman and Evan and Lars, and I go. I use profanity. I'm like, I bleep and hate you guys. And they're like, whoa, coach, what's going on? I'm like, this is your job. Let that sink in. Don't you ever be ungrateful for the fact that this is your job. And they're like, yeah, we usually just, we come and we write stuff down and we kind of shoot the breeze and we hang out with everybody. And then we go write our little stories. And I'm like, yeah, just never complain about anything in your lives. It's just, this is like heaven.
What are some, I guess moving into the other guys, what were, you said that you got to sit with Bill Belichick as he went over some game tape. Was there anything that stuck out to you from that?
He was so like, he spent about 10 minutes just talking about the importance of high school coaches. And he was very sincere, you know, cause obviously he's been a coach his entire life pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Just about, you know, how, you know, this is kind of where it all starts. And how the players, you know, every time they've like interviewed people and like for the draft or whatever, and it always comes back to the high school coaches. Like they always talk about their high school coaches more fondly than anybody else. So just keep doing the good work. And then he spent about 45 minutes going over his basic philosophies of football, which are basically like four things. He said football comes down to blocking, disengaging from blocks, leverage, and tackling. And then he proceeded to prove it for 45 minutes with practice and game film from the Pats, from the Pats years. Like he had it all queued up. He's ready to go. It was organized. It was beautiful. And it was just like a lot of prominent guys you've seen on the Patriots for the last few years, basically looking like crap at practice. And he's like, yeah, he should have done this, or he should have done this, or that's a good one right there. But that's terrible. He needs to get better at that. It's like that dude rushed for a lot of yards, you know.
Man.
So it was just cool. And you know, obviously the highlight of the clinic is always practice. And the stuff we saw at practice was pretty fun.
And let's get into that. What did you see at practice? I know so the names that are being written about, Damon Williams.
Yep.
Denzel Boston, Jonah Coleman.
You mispronounced Denzel's name. It's actually Larry Fitzgerald, because that's what he looks like at practice every freaking day, apparently. It was insane, like the jump that kid's made. I wanted to transfer over to the season next year because nobody can cover him in practice, and we got some good dudes out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're mossing Prysock and Shaw and EJ and whoever else steps up, it's just like, I think of all the throws that went to him when I was there, one ball hit the turf. And it was so badly thrown behind him that he tried to slide down and reach behind him and catch it over his head, and he just couldn't do it. The nerve of the guy to not come up with that catch. But yeah, the ball was not hitting the turf when they threw to him.
That's and that's even in fall camp, we were hearing that, but do you think it's because I guess you weren't at any of the fall stuff last year?
No, but I mean, the conversation did come up with guys like Roman and Evan and those guys and a couple people in the group chat. And I was like, we'll see. I haven't seen him yet. Within 5 minutes, I turned to those guys. I was like, I'm a believer.
Wow.
This is insane. He looks completely different, but you know, he's so strong now. Like the kid's just put on good weight and he's athletic and he's bendy and he's got great hands and it's just going to be fun to watch him.
Is there anybody that we're missing that stood out to you?
Oh, yes. A freshman running back by the name of Muhammad, who is here in Arizona from Apollo High School, who I have not had the pleasure of crossing paths with just because, you know, we play in 6A and I believe they were 4A or 5A. And I just, you know, don't get to see their games. And I was expecting to see, you know, a kid who was like maybe 190 pounds and somebody who looked like a teenager. And he came out in full pads and looked like Adrian Peterson physically. Like, it was just like, what is this? There's no way he's not 215 pounds of solid rock. Moved around really well. He looked like a dude. And we've already got a running back room with Coleman and Cam Davis and some other guys. Sam Adams was getting carries. It was just like, this looks different. Okay. This is like when Joe Tryon came to campus and you were looking at the edge guys and it was him and there was Levi and then everybody else just, you know, kind of like they look like college kids and those dudes look like pros.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like a pro and he's never taken a single carry. So I will reserve judgment until we actually see him, you know, at least in the spring game or something. But he looks like a full on grown man.
Love that.
Scary. And then of course I know you mentioned some little known quarterback from Chandler, Arizona, name of Damon Williams. We've obviously talked about him before. He just looks great. He looks phenomenal. He throws the ball more naturally than everybody else on the field, and that's including our starter. I'm sorry, Will. He just has it. I'm sorry. Every time he throws the ball down the field, it looks effortless, like he's just kind of flicking the wrist, and then you see it's like 40 yards in the air. there's a lot of hype about him right now. People who go out to practice every day are talking about him like, we don't want a true freshman to start, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't play a lot this year. It's like, whoa. Oh, okay. Let's just pump the brakes. And then I remember who the kid was. That's that same kid who stepped onto the field at our house when he was a freshman in high school and did things that you weren't supposed to do as a high school quarterback, let alone a freshman quarterback. He's just a down-to-earth kid who gets it. And I'm sure that he's probably getting close. He probably hasn't had the playbook for that long. He's probably getting to the point where he could start calling his own protections and, you know, running the offense at the line of scrimmage. He's just always been that kid. Like anybody I've ever known who's ever worked with him, talked to him, played with him, played against him, our guys, they always say the same thing. It's like, he's just prepared for everything. Our guys on defense the last 4 years are like, dude, we changed something, and then he changed because we did. And then they scored a touchdown on it. Like, all right, this urban legend just grows and grows and grows. Like, maybe he's the next, you know, Caleb Williams. Maybe he's a really good player. I don't know. But everything I've ever said is important in a quarterback. He's got it.
Yeah.
He's just not tall. And the other guy, Demarcus Davis, looks like a freaking gazelle every time he breaks the pocket. And he looks like he could be in the wide receiver group. He looks like he could be in the DBs group. He's fast. He's super talented. And he's like 6'4", 6'5". And people are just like, well, he's a freshman. Don't worry about that. They'll fix that little hitch in his throwing motion, and he'll learn and he'll do this. And I thought he was a phenomenal prospect coming out. Everybody's talking about DeMond right now. Like, yeah, he might be starting the season as the primary backup quarterback. And that's bonkers to me.
Yeah.
How's Will's development coming along? Does he have anything to worry about? Is he hearing footsteps?
Well, I hope not. It's only spring ball. It's just, Will's like that savvy veteran who I really feel like the difference that people who watched the last 2 years are going to be too harsh with Will, because he came from that air raid offense. He's trying to get the ball out quick. He's trying to be accurate and on time. And you're not going to see him drop back in the pocket and then thread the ball between two safeties and hit, you know, your guy in the end zone necessarily. But he also might get the ball out on time. We'll stay ahead of the chains. We'll mix in the run. He'll hit him with play action, and he'll be super efficient. And I mean, I joked about this the other day. I'm like, people are going to get really ticked off if he goes out there and operates like a Bo Nix and we win, but it doesn't look like Mike. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, it's not going to look the same. He's not that same kind of player. And then when people watch DeMond, they're like, this little guy can do everything. Like, he just kind of captures the imagination and like all the possibilities that there could be. And I think you're going to see this very soon. Mark my words. We've always recruited the state of Arizona really pretty well. He's a magnetic personality. Dudes want to play with him. Anybody who's been associated with him or his school or his sevens team, you know, we're going to have probably a commitment from an Arizona kid, from an East Valley kid here in the next 24 hours, 48 hours, who's really good. There's somebody else who might be on the radar this week, and I'm keeping that tight under wraps. But he's a magnetic dude. That's all I'm going to say. I just feel like some guys just attract others to follow them. And I think DeMond Williams is a natural born leader.
Well, that's exciting.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that's exciting that we have him, because that's the kind of personality we need.
My words. I hope he doesn't go out there and like, all of a sudden, but he's never done that. So
your hedging lately has been very scary good, Coach. So, you know, hopefully you're not due for an L.
Yeah, I mean, eventually everybody loses. But I mean, I'm just trying to bet on kids that are like really, really, really talented, really good, and also really good people. And it's funny because Hood Husky, you know, he said something, you know, I've been talking about DeMond for 3 or 4 years. And they're like, well, he's pretty short. I'm like, yeah, you don't know. And he made a comment and he was joking around the other day. And he's like, he's small. And I go, you'll see. And he goes, Coach, I'm messing with you. He goes, last time you were on somebody this hard, it was Parker Brailsford.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll trust you. And then 2 weeks later, people are like, could he possibly start this year? I'm like, no, stop it. Let's just let the kid be a freshman in spring ball right now and go from there.
Love it. So overall, a great visit to Seattle for the coaching clinic.
It could not have been any better. And then I got on my plane.
Talk about that.
I'm getting all buckled in and I'm in row 12 and I'm thinking, all right, going to be home soon. Maybe I'll take a little nap. And then I look up and I see this tall gentleman in all black Adidas tracksuit. And I was like, huh, I know who that guy is. And it was Roma Dunze. And he was sitting in the front row of first class because he's Roma Dunze. And I was like close enough to where if I had just gone to the bathroom, I could have walked by him and been like, hey, what's up? How you doing? But I was like, nope, not going to be that guy on a plane. I don't want the air marshals calling me over and putting me in zip ties. I just want to, you know, relax here. And then as I'm getting off the plane, he had to wait or something. And then I turned around, I made eye contact with him. And I go, hey, Rome, go Dogs. And no lie, he got this big smile on his face and he goes, oh, thank you very much. Go Dogs. I'm like, thank you very much. No, thank you. What are you talking about? Thank you very much. I go, you're so nice. Like, I didn't say that out loud. I was just thinking all this stuff in my head. So I go to the bathroom and I'm like, well, I'm going to head down to curb pickup. And then he was down there. And so I had a chance to talk to him and like, embarrass myself and talk to him. But I shook his hand and I said, hey, I just want to say thank you, man. The way you represented us the last, you know, 4 years or whatever. I said, you've been amazing on the field. You've been amazing off the field. And like, everybody's rooting for you. And we are so proud of you, man. And he was so humble and he was so like, you know, appreciative. And I said, are you down here to visit the Cardinals? And he goes, yeah. I'm down here for a visit. And he was just waiting for them to pick him up. And I said, look, I want you to be as successful as you want to be. Obviously, we're all going to be rooting for you. I hope you go as high in the draft as you want to go. But the Cardinals? And he goes, you're not a Cardinals fan? I go, I'm from Seattle, brother. He goes, oh, Seahawks. I respect that. And I said, honestly, wherever you go, I mean, hey, if they draft you, at least you got Buddha here. And they always take care of their Huskies down here. But, you know, I might actually come out and watch you guys play instead of the Seahawks if you're down here. And, you know, that was it. You know, I got my ride showed up. His ride showed up. One of my buddies, he goes, why didn't they just send a private plane? I said, it's the Cardinals. They probably don't even have a private plane. You know, what are they, the Seahawks? Come on.
Ouch. Shots fired. Oh, man. Well, like, every time I hear a story about Rome, it just, like, solidifies, like, why he is number one jersey, number one in our hearts. He is just, like, an all-time great representative of Washington. And if he's a better person than he is a player, which is really saying something because of how good he is in both areas. But I think all fans listening want to know, did you stop at the team shop and get a Belichick sweatshirt, cutoff sweatshirt?
I don't think they stocked those yet.
They do?
Yeah, after I left, maybe. But no, I didn't have a chance to do any of that. Once I left on Saturday, I was pretty zonked. I was like, you know, I was reminded very much why I don't live in Seattle anymore because of all the traffic. But once I finally got back to my buddy's house and I was done for the day, like, nope, I'm good. So it was extremely satisfying. It was amazing. If I had to say one thing that we just need to look out for is influx of offensive line, defensive line. because that's probably going to be the difference between a 7-win team and a nine, maybe more win team. It's just the quality of the offensive line and our depth along the defensive line.
Awesome. Got it. Well,
and is Brennan Carroll as big of a gum chewer as Pete?
Not even remotely. I didn't notice that at all. That's got to be like a nervous tick that Pete Carroll got. But now Brennan, I'll tell you what, he just, if you didn't know he's a football coach, you'd probably think like he was just a guy riding around on his motorcycle, just stop off at the sports bar. You know, he's got a pretty wild beard going, and he's just a different cat. But I like him. I mean, just from this time that we got to have with him and just asking him questions, like, you know, I think that when it comes right down to it, I feel like people are going to gravitate to him because he just doesn't take himself so seriously that he's got an ego. Like he could have every look. He's an offensive coordinator. He's the son of a future Hall of Fame NFL coach who's got a Super Bowl ring. He has every reason in the world to kind of be standoffish and kind of arrogant, and he just doesn't give that off at all.
I love it.
Mr. Durfee looks like a rampaging beast right now.
Yeah, he looks big.
He insane. I walked by him and I was like, did we just, oh no, that's him. Okay. All right. We got one side locked down. That's cool.
That's
great.
That's huge.
Awesome. I love that.
Coach, thanks for giving us this insight into it. We'll be back. The transfer portal opens soon. Spring practice has got a couple more weeks. We'll be back to break all that down. For Trevor Mueller, UW, Coach V, go Dogs.
Shout out to Roman Dunze.
Shout out, J-Cap. And you know what, Cardinals? Go get yourself a private plane. Go Dogs.
Already franchise.